your favorite cartoon characters will help you understand how drugs and alcohol can ruin your life. So watch the program. Talk about it with your family.
Make the right
everyone, welcome to Special Presentation with Mike and Ethan, or
Elf Will Not Be Seen Tonight.
So, last week we looked at the Dick Tracy Show, which was a series of short cartoons that, although they included all of the characters you know, did not really capture the flavor of the comic they were based on. Following that, we have Garfield Originals.
How ironic. I was about to say, like, man, after 2 weeks of, or 3 weeks of Dick Tracy, if you count Fearless Fosdick, we're doing something new, something completely unrelated. But it turns out actually there is a common theme. Because yes, that is a good way to describe Garfield Originals.
Garfield Originals is a short, and I mean short, cartoon made for the French audience starring the cast of Garfield. It seems to all be in Flash, or maybe whatever has supplanted Flash, because it's from 2019.
Yeah, and I assume this is probably actually not put on television. This seems like something that's actually created exclusively for the internet, like for YouTube.
Yeah, looking at the Wikipedia entry, it says that it is available on France.tv, a streaming platform available only in France, and some shorts are available on the Nickelodeon's website, and that's, I don't know, it says there are a It says there are 120 short films of 30 seconds. So each of these is as long as, you know, a commercial.
Okay. we found them on the Garfield Show YouTube channel has them as well. The Garfield Show, as you remember, we looked at that a while back. That is the most recent iteration of Garfield. And actually, as far as I know, it's his second. The Garfield Show is the second Garfield series, I guess, because Garfield and Friends is the first. I think it's only those two.
Yeah, I don't think there was any Garfield series, unless you count the original Garfield specials as a series. Sometimes I see those listed on like Tubi or something under the name Garfield and Friends, even though what they actually are is 12 specials that were made over a course of about 10 years.
Right. So I would count those as not a series, even though technically they might be. But talking like
it's like calling a grand day out to the wrong trousers and a close shave a series.
Yeah. So if you're thinking a more traditional half hour cartoon show on every week, we have Garfield and Friends, and then the Garfield Show. And now we've got this, what is it, Garfield Originals? Sorry, was it
Garfield Originals, yeah.
Right.
Well, since it's French, it's probably Garfield Originals. But
Le Garfield Original.
Le Garfield is woke, ooh la la.
Le Grand Chat Garfield.
Actually, you know, in French, his name is Garchomp.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's is that an actual French name?
Yeah,
because it sounds
it's not
extremely
just a Pokemon. Yeah,
okay, it sounds extremely French. So it sounds like he's a Garchomp, like, ah, why laugh when he face annihilation? a bunch of shit just fell over. Okay.
Okay.
It's all good. So, Garfield Originals. These are, yeah, about 30-second little flash cartoons about Garfield. We watched a couple that are kind of combined into 10-minute YouTube videos. And yes. It seems like the 30, like, it's about, yeah, they're about 30 seconds each. About, they'll be like five or six kind of grouped under a vague theme. There'll be a title, and there'll be five or six, and then there'll be like, you know, five or six more on a different theme with a different title, and then they threw a bunch of them together, and we saw them on YouTube. Now, you know, when we talked about the Garfield show, which is for the kids nowadays in France, I forget, Ethan, what were your feelings on the Garfield show?
I think it was better than I thought it would be, but it still didn't stand up to what I considered the gold standard of Garfield, which would be Garfield and Friends and the original TV specials.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think I remember when I first saw the Garfield show, I was pretty down on it. Like, this is hot garbage. But then when we talked about it a little, I think I kind of came around and thought, like, no, it's fine. It's fine for the kids today. I'm an adult, so obviously I'm not really, it's not gelling for me because I'm an adult. But
we are, you know, very self-assured adult Garfield fans.
Yes.
We don't need to have everything be made for us.
Yeah. We are not like weirdo return Garfield guys, you know, we're not like, look what they took away from us. The Garfield show is totally adequate for today's children. I think the main thing I remember was when I watched it, I felt like it didn't have that particular, the particular sauce that Garfield and Friends had, which was, because I think the thing that really made Garfield and Friends stand out was it was, like, it's not like a super smart show, but it's a show that kind of treats the audience like it's smart, if that makes sense, you know?
Believe what we said in a couple of earlier episodes is that it's not necessarily smart, but it is clever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's got like these jokes that are a little bit like, you know, that require a little bit of understanding or thought. You know, like when Garfield is all like, hey, I gotta fire my agent or something. And it's like the cartoon saying, hey, we know this is not real. This is a cartoon. And we know that you know that. We're all on the same page here. You know, you're a smart kid. You understand, you know? And I think Garfield Friends was kind of one of the first shows that was like that. Because I remember...
You got a little bit of that with Beetlejuice, too.
Yeah, that's true.
You also get a lot of that... We also got a lot of that, surprisingly, with the new Mighty Mouse.
Oh, you mean the... Is that the one with John Felucci?
Yeah,
Chris
the one
Felucci?
With Ralph Bakshi and John Chris Felucci. Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, they did a lot of that.
Interesting. And I never watched that, so...
It was actually... It's actually very good, and it was actually... they made a conscious effort to step away from it when they moved from Mighty Mouse to Ren and Stimpy. So Ren and Stimpy doesn't do that much at all, except for occasional things like, Ren being offered the socks and being told, stay put socks, they never fall down. Say, now that's a good idea, especially for those of us who don't wear clothes.
I'm thinking like, trying to think of other shows, because I feel like the 90s had a lot of shows that were kind of like that. That were like...
Any show that started with Steven Spielberg Presents had it in such abundance that sometimes there wasn't another joke.
That's true. I would, as a kid, I thought like those things were just great. Like as a kid, I thought Animaniacs and all that was like, oh, this is this good stuff. You know, I'm a smart kid. I get this. As an adult, those have they kind of wear out. You know,
It's gotten to the point where, you know, it's like when you have a stand-up comic and he goes, "Do you ever get the idea that Shaggy and Scooby were always smoking weed?" And now you just want to like, you know, stand up and train a gun on him and be like, "Now make a joke about how they couldn't fix the SS Minnow, motherfucker! I dare you."
Yeah, it's like this gets old. It's a sort of thing that gets old real fast. So, Garfield and Friends, I think, is like is a show that was smart enough to use it sparingly, because you watch it as an adult and, like, you know, you're not like, you're not blown away by anything, but you get some good chuckles, and it isn't like doing the wink wink nudge nudge thing so much that you're like, okay, shut the fuck up, Garfield. Mm-hmm. I get it. You're clever.
It's like Slimer. A little goes a long way.
Yes. Yes. Very well said. Animaniacs was a big one for this. Tiny Toon Adventures, I think, was kind of like that as well.
They really did. Well, because it took place in like a school for cartoon characters, there was a whole lot of that same kind of hack comedian things, like, notice that I don't fall until I look down.
Oh, that's right. That's the sort of thing where, like, it's they're being meta, but they're being meta by explaining the joke, which is not quite the way to do it.
We'll be okay as long as we don't wear red shirts when we go down. Wink.
Yeah. A lot of that sort of thing. I think other shows that were kind of clever but not meta. The Tick.
The Tick, absolutely.
That was in that time period. It played everything straight, but it was, you know, very, very clever. Eek the Cat, I think another one, which was... That one I don't think went meta very often, if I can remember. But again, a lot of really kind of clever jokes for kids that can get it, you know?
Yeah. Tasmania did that a lot, too. They were really into that with the Warner Brothers stuff at the time, to the point where... It was specifically a plot point in Tasmania that one of the characters that was introduced in the opening credits had been bumped up to management because he was very unpopular on the actual show.
What? Okay. That's... Which character?
Benny Boar, who was supposedly Taz's best friend, but he was always on his cell phone and ignoring Taz, which I guess was the big joke.
Huh. Wow. The only thing I really remember about Tasmania was that his dad, like, had a laugh track and was, like, the only character with a laugh track.
Yeah, his dad, who, like, he was like an impression of Bing Crosby, and they would do this, and the people got really into him in the same way that people kind of got into Boomhauer, to the point where they'd actually have him actually do his bit over the end credits of other shows. So it'd be like the end credits of, I don't know, G.I. Joe Extreme or whatever. And you hear it's like, hey, I'm glad to listen to Fox Kids. Next up, we've got Tiny Toon Adventures. Blah, 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 blah. Yakety schmackety golden OJ.
Oh, that's... Man, that feels very... I feel like that's the sort of thing that, like, yeah, nowadays people would totally get obsessed with that character, and he would absolutely have his own following.
He would be a Tumblr sexy man.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's just funny to think in the 90s, before we really had the internet, they were still able to parse out, like, hey, people really like this weird Bing Crosby impression that we have for the Tasmanian Devil's dad. We should do more with him. Or actually, you know what? It probably just was. I probably was that, like, the animators were like, this is hilarious. We love this. We want more of him. And it just, you know, then they just did it. The same way, like, yes. Think back then, like, Boomhauer, the animators were probably like, yeah, this is fun. We like Boomhauer. And it just so happens that they had good taste and they liked the same thing the audience wanted. So, that was a different time, you know? That's kind of just the style of cartoon that Garfield and Friends was, where it was...
Yeah, the style that was, you know, coming up in the late 80s, and then around the mid-90s, people got tired of irony and wanted sincerity.
Yeah.
It was kind of like how we rejected the alternative movement and got back into swing.
Yeah, well, that's right, because then sincerity came back, and we had, like, sincere cartoons for a little while. Mm-hmm. I think if I remember correctly, the trajectory of animation in America was like, okay, your 80s was toyetic cartoons, garbage to make kids buy stuff. 90s mm-hmm. is where we got ironic and have, like, the people who, like, grew up with shitty cartoons were now making cartoons. They're like, we're gonna make some good cartoons. You know, the kids will like these. And then cartoons got kind of kind of witty for a little while, and then they were like, you know what, let's just make a ripoff anime. We're just gonna make Ben 10 forever, you know. And
Some point in there, Invader Zim happened.
Oh, that's right, Invader Zim. I feel like Invader Zim is its own thing.
Yeah, it's not making fun of cartoons at all. It's not a satire of anything. Invader Zim is absolutely its own beast.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of you know, if I was trying to like group cartoons into like, you know, in some sort of like tree of life thing, you know, Venn diagram. Yeah. I was like, yeah, Invader Zim would just be off on its own thing. I can't really think of anything that, I mean, you know, Jon Vasquez is, you know,
yeah, he's
his own guy. So
yeah, they hired, you know, an extreme outsider. You know, he was so unused to how cartoons worked, he wasn't even on the same sleeping schedule as the rest of them.
Oh, that's funny.
They put up dark curtains in his office so he could work.
Wow, man, that's the dream, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But Invader Zim was like its own thing, and that's probably why it resonated so much with, you know, people. They'd never seen anything quite like it before, and we probably never will see anything quite like it again. Has anything, I'm trying to think now, because, you know, anytime a cartoon's a hit, they do try to, like, rip it off and, you know, make copies. Did they ever make any Invader Zim, like, Ersatz Invader Zims? I can't really think of...
I feel like you might argue for Butt Ugly Martians?
Oh, yeah, that might have been an attempt. I'm trying to think. I never watched Butt Ugly Martians. I always thought that was just another Ninja Turtles ripoff, but...
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. I never watched it either. Lilo and Stitch?
You know, I could see an argument that Lilo and Stitch was kind of, you know, Zim-esque.
A little bit, yeah.
A little. It didn't
I mean, the show was... They were specifically going for a Monster of the Week, a literal Monster of the Week thing.
Yeah.
You know, after they established the idea of it being basically... You know, that Stitch was basically the head Pokemon of 600 and however many others.
Yeah. I mean, Lilo and Stitch, you could say it might be... is vaguely Zim-esque as much as Disney could be Zim-esque, you know? Because clearly, like, Disney is never going to get anywhere near anything that Jon Vasquez
Disney
could think
does
of.
Disney does its own thing for the most part. I mean, when they tried to do their own Ren Stimpy, you got Schnookums and Meat.
Oh, that was Disney?
Yeah.
Wow.
they got some of the same people. They did their best, honestly, but, you know, Disney gonna diz.
Yeah, I forget sometimes that Disney owns so much stuff, you know, has made, because I don't know, it's just always bizarre when you find out, like, oh yeah, you know, remember when Disney made Marsupilami?
Yeah,
it's like, okay, that's odd.
It turns out Disney didn't make Marsupilami; they belonged to someone else. And they got the rights back from it, from Disney. They're like one of two people to ever do that.
Wow. I can't believe... I'm surprised Disney just didn't, you know, decide like, yeah, oh, yeah, we'll just keep making it. And who cares? Who cares about the rights? But
well,
I probably didn't make
thing,
enough money for
them. Very unpopular.
Well, there you go. That's the real reason they gave the rights back. Because I was going to say, remember when Disney was all like, we're going to buy Star Wars. We've decided we bought the assets without acquiring the debts. It's like... How does that work? Well, we're Disney. What are you going to do about it? It's like, well, we don't have to pay any of the things that, like, because I remember, like, what Orson Scott Card was like, hey, you should pay me for the royalties for all those Star Wars novels I wrote. Disney's like, yeah, we don't think so. Not Orson Scott Card. Was it Orson Scott Card? It was one
Maybe,
of those guys.
I don't know.
I don't read Star Wars novels, so.
No, I read Xanth novels. I'm much better.
Well, I don't read because reading's for nerds.
Well, I read because reading's for nerds.
I prefer to watch Garfield.
Okay.
I don't nice, even read Garfield segue. Anymore. I don't read Garfield anymore. I only watch it. I only watch it on the Garfield originals. Anyway.
I'm cooler than that. I don't even watch Garfield. I just drink it now.
You mean Garchamp?
Yes, Garchamp. Yes, I chomp my Garchamp down.
You drink your Gar champagne.
Mmm. fizzy and leaves orange stripes on your tongue.
Man, you know what?
You know, if they could figure out something to do that, that would be a huge seller.
Yeah, boy, Nathan Masary was really leaving money on the table by not coming up with some Gar champagne. I think you pretty much just put like American Fanta in champagne and there you go. That's all you got to do.
Why not why American Fanta?
Oh, because have you seen European Fanta? Have you seen the color?
Is it different?
No. Yeah. It looks like, well, you know how American Fanta, well, because European Fanta, it has the color of like regular orange juice, whereas American Fanta looks radioactive, you know? Mm. It's got that bright orange, like mutagen color, which, you know, is, in my opinion, the color that a soda should have. I don't know what the fuck they're doing in Europe. They're like, oh, we want natural colors in our soda. Fuck y'off. What do you think you're doing? Oh, my God. That's why no one likes soda over there. Also, let me say this about Europe. Let me say this about Europe. Also, if you go over there and you order a soda, like, you know how in America when you get a soda, you get like a bucket, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, and if you finish it, there's unlimited free refills, you know? That's America. Well, in Europe, they're like, you order a soda, they give you one cup, right? They give you a cup, and there's a little mark on the cup, right? A little line, because the line indicates the minimum amount of soda they have to give you by law, right? The government said, hey, you have to give people at least this much soda, right? When they order soda, which means, and it's literally like a thimbleful, which means that if the government didn't make them do that, they would give you even less. And there's no fucking ice. No ice in Europe. Oh, my God. What a terrible place.
That's not what I heard. I was saying that, you know, in Europe, they don't give you ice with your soda. And my British friend, I'm not going to name him because this might be a little embarrassing, said, yes, they do. I have to ask them to leave the ice out. Oh, that sells the idea that ice isn't popular even more.
The Brits are, they want like, I want, it's like, oh, it's a sweltering, like, you know, 500 degrees out. I better drink my piping hot tea, you know, where they're all like, they hear that in America, we drink iced tea and they're like horrified by that. They're like, why would you want your tea to be cold and refreshing? Why would you like that at all? And it's like, because in America, we have a little thing called ingenuity. And that's why we beat Cornwallis at Bunker Hill. Fuck you, England. Also, I wouldn't trust English ice cubes because they're probably made out of that like sewage that they're blasting onto all their beaches right now.
Oh, yeah, it's probably got BSE in it.
Yeah, stupid Brits voting for Tories. I'm glad we're not that stupid in America. We never elect like some shithead here. Anyway, Garfield, which is not from Britain or America, it's from France now.
Yes, which is, you know, the enemy of both.
So, yeah. So we should rename him Freedom Cat because we're so mad.
Freedom Cat Originals.
Yeah, Freedom Cat Originals.
I'm looking at the DVD cover on the Wikipedia article, and you would be forgiven if you couldn't read, for thinking this was the Bill the Cat show.
Oh, really? Let me see what is the actual
same image that they have in between every cartoon winking at you, where Garfield has this absolutely maniacal expression and his eyeballs are two different sizes.
That's right. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like Garfield. It feels like this, you know, psychopath putting on a Garfield suit to entertain you.
You know, you're right. That is exactly Bill the Cat, which is ironic that Bill the Cat was originally like a spoof on Garfield.
Yeah.
You know, isn't like, let's make the most unmarketable version of this, you know, marketable character. And now it's come full circle because Garfield had become Bill the Cat. But you're right. That is like not when that face, which pops up at the end of every cartoon, is not Garfield. It's, you know, it's Garchamp. Yeah. Cause Garfield. Yeah. Like what, if you were talking about like Garfield's personality, what is it? He's, you know, he's like lazy. He's a little smug. He's a little like, you know, pompous. He's not maniacal, you know?
No, he's, you know, he is not the kind of character to wink at you. He doesn't care if you're in on the joke.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when I think of if Garfield's face is going to appear after cartoon, I expect, you know, he's smiling, not showing teeth. You know, he's kind of got that smug smile and the heavy half-lidded eyes. You know, the classic Garfield look.
This Garfield's eyes are wide the fuck open, like he's just had 6 cups of coffee.
Yeah, you
know, it looks like the cartoon where he slams his mug on the table and goes, "Bean me."
Yeah, you know, this whole thing. It is, you know, again, it's like the French are good at inventing. You know, they invented the word for this sort of thing, ersatz. So this is an ersatz Garfield. It feels like, and it 100% is. This is something that was clearly made for, you know, YouTube, because it has that feel of, you know, that stuff like Finger Family.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say. It felt like they were trying to squeeze Garfield into ElsaGate.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's just a series of Garfield characters. They're doing wacky stuff. You know, there's no dialogue. They just kind of react with sound effects.
Right. So yeah, that's how they solved the problem of Kermit Love. Damn it, what's his name? Lords of Music.
Yeah. Kermit Love.
Kermit Love is someone totally different. Of Lorenzo Music not being around anymore is that now Garfield he doesn't speak at all. In fact, nobody does. They are all mimes. So, you know, there can you get more French than that, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not a fan of this sort of thing. I don't feel like the strength of Garfield is kind of silent physical humor. You know?
Right. Yeah. What this feels like is, you know, actual comic strips translated into animation, like a Garfield quickie.
Yeah. But the Garfield quickies were good because they actually were actual strips, translated. Garfield is, I don't know, you know, maybe it's just because I'm used to Garfield as a speaking character. You know, so seeing him as a silent character is very weird. It's not like Snoopy, who hasn't spoken, you know, since the beginning, even though he's a speaking character in the comic strip.
Yeah.
Then again, I feel like Garfield is a much more sharply drawn character than Snoopy. You know,
how do you figure?
Well, I figure, like, if you ask me to describe the character of Garfield, I could be like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what Garfield is all about. He's, like, he's lazy. He doesn't like Mondays. He likes, you know, he likes to eat. He's, you know, kind of smug. He's, like, you know, there are all these traits that I associate with Garfield. You know, but if you said, what traits you associate with Snoopy, I'd be like, oh, he's a dog.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's kind of all over the place, but he's always... Well, for one thing, he has a whole lot of other characters he plays, and Garfield doesn't really have that going on.
Yeah.
And so he's imaginative, and he's, you know, really bored all the time.
Yeah.
And he yearns for something else, but he always returns to Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Just something about Snoopy, I'm like, you can do Snoopy as a mime, as a silent character, and I feel like he still works, you know. But Garfield, when he's not talking, I'm like, I don't know. I don't really get his personality. But maybe that's
now,
because...
If we had John talking and not Garfield, then it would basically be Arbuckle. It would be the Garfield minus Garfield's thoughts edited comics. And those are fun.
Yeah. I mean, that might work, actually. Maybe I'm being unfair, because maybe Garfield would work as a silent... character if it was different than this, because this the problem is I feel like this Garfield is not really, he's not acting like I would expect Garfield to act. He's just, I mean,
now think how weird it would be if Garfield was silent but Odie talked.
Oh yeah. That would be a that's bizarro field right there.
Bizarre field.
There. Oh, that's pretty good actually.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is mostly just sound effects, you know.
Yeah, it's mostly canned sound effects, stuff you've already heard 100 times. I mean, yeah. It's to their credit that you don't hear a lot of repeated noises in the chapter that's just burp jokes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, there's a lot of like, you know, like people, there's a lot of foghorns. There's a lot of traffic noises. Odie kind of makes a squishy noise when he runs around.
Yeah. There's that sound of a car going by and honking a horn that plays Dixie.
Oh yeah. That's like a recurring motif, recurring leitmotif in this. But again, if you've watched like ElsaGate type videos, that's the kind of thing they do, you know? So they all people just communicate in those like weird sound effects. The only thing is Garfield does kind of mumble and make noises, but
yeah,
they sound very, I don't know how to describe that. Like Garfield sounds, his mumble sounds sick. He does not sound well.
He sounds like he's going to throw up, and that's about it.
Yeah. Like, okay, what's going on here?
He sounds like he just got hit in the face with a rake.
Yeah. We got, you know, other characters show up. We have Nermal show up in one of them.
Everyone is here. Garfield is here. John is here. Odie is here. Nermal is here. Liz is here. Arlene is here. Pookie is here. Spiders. Mice. Apparently the postman shows up at some point. The only person who isn't here is Jim Davis.
Yeah. You know, again, Jim Davis, I guess he cashed a check, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe
I feel like we spent so much time telling Jim Davis that he was a hack who would do anything for a buck that he started to believe it.
You know, I think you're right, because at this point, we're getting a lot of stuff that feels like Jim Davis in the 80s or even the 90s when Garfield was kind of, I don't want to say that Garfield is more of a cultural phenomenon, because I feel like Garfield is one of the few things that you can't say his star has faded. He's still there.
He never went away. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's had, you know, ups and downs. You know, he was probably more on people's lips when the two Garfield movies came out.
Right.
More on people's lips when Garfield and Friends was on the air than, say, the Garfield Show or Garfield Originals.
Yeah.
But, you know, Garfield has never really gone away, and the internet has, you know, embraced him, you know, recognizing as they have that there was a time when Garfield was so unavoidable that anything you find from there is just ironic gold.
Yeah. Lately there's been things that you feel that have come out that feel like, you know, Jim Davis in the 80s or 90s would not have signed off on, you know, like the Garfield Eats kind of debacle is a weird one. And, you know, no matter how much we talk about it, I still can't wrap my head around what happened there, that, Nathan Masry, of all people, was able to get the Garfield license because, you know, it
seemed like that kind of fast talker who could get the best of Jim Davis.
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder if he's okay, if he had like an ischemic attack or something and he's just kind of being led around.
Oh, God. I really hope there's not some sort of elder abuse going on with Jim Davis.
Yeah, me too. Jesus.
Oh, my God. You know, yeah, we wouldn't really know because, I mean, he is kind of reclusive. You know, we don't.
Which we've always appreciated before. But, you know, maybe it's time for, you know, Jim, if you're OK, squeak twice.
Yeah. I mean, someone should check in on him. What's going on down there at Paws, Inc.? Someone get down to Muncie, Indiana, and like let's get to the bottom of this. It's weird because
Muncie
the
closed.
Whole What?
The PAWS Indiana headquarters closed in 2019.
Oh my God. That's like when the car factory is closed in Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What else are they going to do in Muncie now? Shoot.
My God. And just imagine going to Muncie and it's just depressed Rust Belt type town now. It's like just guys out there smoking. Ain't been a lot of work since the Garfield factory closed.
Oh my God. Night in the Woods 2, now featuring Garfield.
just imagine all those cartoonists who like moved to the Muncie and are just stuck there now because it's like they can't afford to leave. just on the street, like, yeah, we'll draw for pennies. Oh my God. So who's drawing Garfield if PAWS ain't closed?
The PAWS in Indiana closed. They've moved to New York, as I understand.
Oh, boo! Boo! Yeah. Man, that sucks, because I feel like, you know, Jim Davis being a Muncie boy and kind of like, hey, I'm going to bring this to my hometown. That's kind of cool, you know? It kind of sucks that, like, everything these days, oh, we're going to move to New York. Oh, so you always got to go to New York. Everything's in New York or L.A., you know, if you want to be anyone, you got to be there. But no one can afford to live there. You know, that's the thing. It's like, if you want to be a cartoonist and you're like, I'm going to move to Muncie, Indiana to work on Garfield, I bet you could afford that. I bet there's affordable housing in Muncie, Indiana. But like now all these, you know, people, all these cartoonists going to New York, they're probably like, you know, like 12 of them is sharing like a one bedroom because, you know, sleeping in their cars, except you can't have a car in New York. You know, they're sleeping in the back subway of taxis in the subway. Oh my God. Oh, this is depressing. This is
some better news.
Yes.
Although PAWS Inc. is now effectively located in Manhattan, Davis will continue to draw the comic strips in Indiana for newspapers and through Andrews McMeel syndication.
Okay.
So the studio that makes the Garfield strip is still in Muncie, thankfully. It's just that, you know, all of the merchandising headquarters has moved to New York.
Oh, so, okay. Interesting.
I can understand that, because about when they were first talking about the sale of the Muppets to Disney, that was kind of what Jim Henson wanted, was that he wanted to stop being a businessman all the time and spend more time as a puppeteer. And that was why the idea of selling the Muppets came up in the first place.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess merchandising kind of makes sense to have it near, you know, Madison Avenue and all that. So, okay, I will accept this. So I guess.
And it says that he himself is still drawing. So at least there's that.
That's good. So I guess he's still active at least. So
as of 2019, that's 4 years ago now. So we don't know.
Yeah. So
he's 78.
He's.
It's not the end of his career just yet, you know.
No. I mean, as long as he's got hands, he can keep drawing. So, I guess we'll see. The day we lose Jim Davis is going to be like the end of an era.
God, you know? I mean, it is going to be the saddest day on the internet since Captain Lou Albano died.
Yeah, I honestly can't even conceive of a world without Jim Davis, because he is so instrumental in kind of creating the modern comics page and beyond, you know. I think Garfield Friends also like was pretty instrumental in kind of creating a vibe for cartoons as well. So
very much so, I would agree.
Yeah. Garfield Originals is not up to the high standards that we expect from Garfield. I would say it's nowhere near Garfield and Friends, but it's not even up to, like, you know, the Garfield Show standards. Because the Garfield Show, although I wasn't very, you know, I wasn't super into it, it's like, yeah, that's Garfield, you know?
Yeah. It isn't not Garfield. This kind of feels like it isn't Garfield.
Yeah. It's just, it's also... Yeah, like kind of done with like Flash or something. So
yeah,
I mean it's
which is
it's
not to say there's no good animation in it, but
no, it's that kind
very,
of like
it's very paper doll-y.
Yeah. I guess it's nice to see something that looks like 2D animation again. You don't see that too much. But yeah, it's got that,
I didn't
like
the 3D animation.
Right, right. It's got that thing that a lot of like you said, that paper doll look where things, there's not a lot of tweening going on. Things kind of jump around very frenetically so that they don't have to have in between frames.
Yeah, they take one drawing and they stretch it a few times before they snap to the next drawing. That kind of
thing. Yeah. But it's mostly like, let's see. So Garfield is, I don't know. He's at the vet. He doesn't want like a shot, I guess. So he kind of pretends he's not sick when Liz is looking. And then when she turns around, he gets all sick again. I don't know. This is like, it's when I was watching that, I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess Garfield might do something like that, but this isn't really. He's not really a tricky character, you know?
It's not really a Garfield joke.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But the first joke in this, where Garfield is being weighed, and he starts taking off parts of his body like he was a Mr. Potato Head. I'm not sure if this is a Garfield joke or not, but it was so surreal that it set me up for the rest of the show to be a lot funnier than it actually was.
Yeah, I mean, most of the jokes are pretty, you know, they're pretty basic. It's mostly like, obviously for little kids who like, they like to see things fall through other things. So that's basically the extent of what you're getting. I mean, again, you're kind of limited in how witty you can be when it's silent. But these are just, meh. The main one that I know that I thought was entertaining was when Liz accidentally gives John a shot that was meant for Odie, and then John starts acting like a dog, and it's like,
give birth to a fine, healthy litter of puppies.
Yeah, exactly. The classic. We all love the classic John drinks dog jizz joke. Although I actually interpreted that comic strip very differently. Yes. I thought when I saw that, because for those who haven't seen it, Liz is examining Garfield, and there's a glass of a substance on the table, on the flat, limitless countertop that we always get in Garfield. Mm-hmm. And John is all like, oh, have some juice, John. Don't mind if I do. And he drinks it, right? And Liz says, congratulations, Mr. Arbuckle. You're going to give birth to
to a fine, healthy litter of puppies is what she says.
Oh, is that what actually
sputters on? Yes, but John sputters on the drink, and Garfield looks at the camera in horror and says, I hate puppies.
Oh, wait, is that what they say? I'm going to have to look this up now, because I feel like my interpretation does not make any sense. Oh, you're going to give birth to a fine, healthy litter of puppies. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, never mind. I was completely confused. I thought for some reason she was saying something to imply that Garfield was pregnant.
Oh.
But no, that doesn't make any... That's not what's happening at all. So apparently, like, what Jim Davis was saying when he was asked about this was he grew up on a farm, and I guess there's, like, certain supplements you give a horse when they're going to have... He thought there existed supplements for dogs like that, which they probably are. But the internet was like, he's drinking dog jizz. Now, the internet, of course, it was stupid, because it's like, look, if John is drinking dog jizz, which if he was, you don't get pregnant by drinking it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how it works.
I know we cite Sean Baby a lot on this show, but I have to quote him again when he was talking about the classic Atari 2600 game, Beat 'em and Eat 'em, where the idea is to catch the jizz in your mouth, because each one of them could have been a famous doctor or lawyer. And he says, you know, it doesn't matter whether it lands on the sidewalk or in your mouth. It's still going to give you the same number of famous baby lawyers. None.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry. Look, I know sex ed in this country is pretty abysmal, but you cannot get pregnant by drinking cum. It does not happen. You know,
that is why the rate of blowjobs has gone up so much in high schools.
Oh, so the people, that is smart thinking, you know?
Yes.
It's like safe sex. Well, I guess you should probably use a dental dam, I guess, or something. That's what they told us. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I was in high school, but you know, the saying is you can't get pregnant from blowjobs. You can get what? Syphilis, I think. Maybe? Or not,
I think,
syphilis.
So, yeah. I mean, you can get germs, but you can't get, you know, impregnated.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have ovaries in your throat, that would be a weird version of deep throat.
Oh, yeah, actually. So, we're important information, trying to get it out.
Thanks,
there. Yeah. We just want, you know, hey, people out there. I know a lot of people are tuning into this show for sex ed because they're like, there are a lot of people out there who are like, you know what? I have questions about how the body works. Should I, you know, tune into like Dr. Ruth or something, or I don't know, some show like that, or should I look at this? Maybe I'll listen to this podcast about comic strips. That'll definitely tell me what I need to know. That'll have the information.
Well, next time on special presentation, we'll talk about Funky Winkerbean, and we'll talk about whether or not it's a good idea to blow air in the vagina when eating someone out.
Shit,
it's not.
It is not. And you know the funny thing? So Ethan, where, just out of curiosity, where did you first learn the information that it's not a good idea to blow into a vagina?
Well, I learned that in a pregnancy guidebook for young couples.
Oh, really? Okay, so you actually found it from a reputable source.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I learned it from?
A Tumblr post?
No, I learned it from a book that was very popular at the time, or I believed it was, but I don't know if anyone remembers it. It's Dave Barry in Cyberspace.
Where, Dave Barry in Cyberspace? That's the one? Really? Not Babies and Other Hazards of Sex? Wow.
Nope. So Dave Barry, some of you may remember this guy. He was like a newspaper columnist who made, you know, jokey japes. He wrote a bunch of books, you know, kind of joke books, not joke book, you know, like funny books. And
Dave Barry does Japan. Dave Barry turns 40.
Yes.
Dave Barry wants to chew your hair. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now Dave Barry in Cyberspace was one where Dave Barry heard about this brand new thing called the internet. So he was writing about the internet. It's very weird to read this book now because it's literally like, you know, he talks about like things that were like internet-y in like, you know, the late 90s. So he talks about like, mm-hmm. you know, AOL chat rooms, and he talks about like Usenet, and he actually like names them. He says, here are some sites you could go to. And there's a bunch of like, you know, like dot, you know, like Zenga sites that he found.
Yeah, you gotta
that
write,
he talks about.
Yeah, you got to type them all in.
Yeah. So it's It's a very weirdly dated book. I mean, no shade on him. He was writing, you know, this is cutting edge at the time, so it's not like you can see the future. It's a weird time capsule of that era. In fact, I think it's something that like is due for the internet to rediscover, because I think the kids will definitely find it entertaining to see what old people thought the internet was about in those days. But anyway, he mentions that he went to some site. I think it was like altsex.rec or something, you know, and people were talking about the fact that you should not blow into a vagina. And he said, isn't the internet great? I was on for like 10 minutes. I discovered a sex act that can kill you. so that's why I always remember, like, do not blow into a vagina, because Dave Barry told me.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you, Dave Barry. You've probably saved the lives of so many women over the years.
And just think how many guys were like, don't blow. Ah, that was my one trick.
Yeah. It's like, what else are you going to do? They're just staring at a vagina. Like, well, I don't even know. I got nothing.
Why did I even bring this coffee stirrer?
Anyway. So, now that now everybody knows. So now we know. We learned important. We learned something today. You know, like we have a lot of fun here on.
Learned a lot.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun here on a special presentation. But there's nothing funny about you know, coronary embolism or whatever it is you get from blowing into vaginas.
Yeah, just don't put air into your body except through the lungs.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's right. So don't put air into your, that's right. Despite what all those like extremely hot stories on DeviantArt might tell you, only put air into the lungs.
Yes.
Anyway, Garfield and no friends. Garfield originals. Yes.
Garfield and no friends.
Yeah, you can tell like there's a lot of meat here based on the fact that we are diverging constantly onto like talking about air and vaginas and stuff.
Yeah, usually we don't run out of stuff to say this early, but okay. Well, let's look at the cartoon and let's play a little game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at one of the cartoons and I'll give you the setup and you try and come up with a better joke to close it with than they actually used.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Okay, here's... okay. Pumpkin trouble. Mm-hmm. Garfield finds a pumpkin, runs away, gets a marker and draws a face on it, then comes back and finishes drawing the face, and then comes back with the knife. What kind of funny thing would happen?
Let's see. So he finishes drawing the face, and then he comes back with a knife.
Yeah,
right?
He runs away to get the knife. Yeah, let's say it's that.
All right. So what should happen is Garfield should blow air into the pumpkin's vagina. I'm laughing already. I feel like let's see. Oh, gosh. What did happen? I feel like
what did happen was that he came back with the knife and the pumpkin got scared and ran away.
That's kind of exactly what I expected to happen. I feel like he should have done exactly what they did in Garfield's Halloween, Garfield in Disguise. Garfield should like carve the pumpkin and then put it on John's head.
Yeah. Instead, it has him putting the pumpkin on his own head multiple times. And I was like, do they even carve pumpkins in France? What did they do for Halloween in France?
I think that traditionally they carve turnips.
Mm.
Actually, no,
definitely a Scottish thing. I don't know about France.
Yeah, I don't think the French traditionally have Halloween, though. It's probably one of those things that they started doing just because, you know, American culture kind of has taken over the world.
They have something called La Toussaint.
What's that?
A celebration happening on November 1st and a bank holiday. It is traditionally the day when you celebrate All Saints, you know, like All Saints Day.
And
it is a day to remember the dead and bring chrysanthemums to cemeteries.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense. Yeah. So they have kind of that's kind of Halloween-esque. So I wouldn't be surprised if American Halloween traditions melged with that so that, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, hey, this spooky stuff is kind of fun. Because mm-hmm. I do know that Germany has much more. They've kind of adopted some Halloween stuff there, which is more recent thing. When I was a kid, they didn't do it. But I think they were like, hey, this American thing's kind of fun. The Americans had a good idea for once, you know?
Yeah, the younger French generations like Halloween. But most adults think Halloween is too commercial. So
that's funny. They're like, it's not like, you know, it's just like how we talk about Christmas. They're like, Halloween got too commercial. It's all about the, like the candy now. What about happened to the true meaning of Halloween? I will say that like Halloween is the only good American holiday. So I'm glad that it's, you know, kind of spreading. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they actually like have, boy, you know what? I bet the Europeans, because they don't suck like us, except for their soda. Their soda is very bad. but like, you know, they have you know, they have like walkable cities and outdoor spaces and they interact with their neighbors. I bet like a French Halloween would actually be a lot like a Halloween used to be back in the old days, you know, like because when I was a kid, Halloween, you know, first of all, you went out trick or treating, you know, you had all sorts of you did stuff. You know, you actually did stuff. You were allowed to go out. And nowadays I feel like kids, it's like, okay, we're going to do Halloween in the afternoon. You know, you're going to do Treat Street. You're going to walk around downtown and get some candy from like the stores, you know, with like there being 100 crossing guards all with like the orange vests, like taking all the danger out of Halloween. It's like the whole point of Halloween is like, look, you run around unsupervised after dark. You know,
yes.
But here you can't do that.
They have to learn to do that eventually. And Halloween is the time when everyone gets a taste of it.
Yeah. And that's why it's why America sucks now. Everyone's doing this fucking trunk or treat shit, you know, because you can't let trunk or treat. It's where you get a bunch of you drive to a place and you just sit in your car and the kids go from car to car and get like candy. It's so
say if they're going to offer me trunk or treat, I pick treat.
I mean, that's not even, I mean, that's not even it's not even a choice, really, you know? It's like, why would you pick anything else? If it's trick or Trump, it's like, I could see some people being like, well, I don't know. But like, if it's Trump or treat, it's like, well, clearly treat is the way to go. There's no downside, you know? My God, I bet I bet they're actually doing Trump or treat. I bet somewhere in America they do that shit. Oh, God. I mean, that's the problem when you have like, you know, a sizable portion of your citizens are in a death cult. It's kind of bad. And not a cool death cult like you should have on Halloween.
Oh, well, like you know what you say one. Instead of trick or treat in French?
What?
You say des bonbons ou un sort, which means candies or a spell.
Ooh, I like that. That is that is pretty cool, actually. So, you know, interesting, or maybe not, my dad grew up in New York, right? Mm-hmm. And he said that in New York...
Anything
when he
for
was
Halloween,
a kid,
I remember.
Oh, yeah. Have I said this, or do you know this?
Yeah, I remember you said this earlier.
Oh man,
sorry,
I love...
Sorry, I interrupted your bit for the show.
No. I mean, I think I probably said it on the show, right?
Yeah.
I love to repeat myself.
It's okay. I mean, we have over 200 episodes. I can't expect everyone to have an encyclopedic knowledge of them like I do.
Well, the important thing is that I feel like a place like Europe could actually do some good with the concept of Halloween. Plus, think of all those old cemeteries and ruins they have there. You can do pretty badass legend tripping in Europe. You know, it's Halloween, and I bet all the French teenagers are like, oh, we're going to go smoke clove cigarettes in the catacombs, you know?
Yeah, can you imagine how crowded the Catacombe de Paris must be around Halloween? Shit.
Oh, man. I bet it's so cool, though. Like, you know, in America now, like, at Halloween, like, what are you going to do? I don't know. If you're in California, you could, like, I went to the Castro for Halloween once, because that was supposed to be, like, a thing, you know?
Well, how's that?
Crowded. It was, oh my God, literally it was literally just like you were just, I could not move. There were so many people. You were just standing there. And it was like, okay, I guess that's what happens when straight people decide to go too. So, you know, it was like, that is too many people. They couldn't even do that now. Cause everyone would get COVID, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks Obama. Anyway, America sucks.
Thanks, Obama. You made Trump possible.
Yeah. Good fucking job. Ugh. I'm just disgusted with this country because it does not keep true to the Halloween spirit, you know?
Yeah, we had one good thing, Halloween, and they ruined it.
They did. And, like, that's the thing is now everyone is on the internet being like, oh, it's spooky season. I love spooky season. And it's like, you're all turning into, like, fucking Disney adults. This is not the way to do Halloween. You guys are all lame. I'm sorry.
Never, you know, never ever refer to a holiday as like holiday item day. Like, don't come up to someone on Halloween and say Happy Pumpkin Day.
Oh my God, I hate that. I hate
don't
that so it, much.
Yeah, Happy Turkey Day. Happy Tinsel Day.
That's like it. my God. It's like, oh, it's like, that's the thing the boomers think is real funny, though. They really think that's funny.
Happy God. Free at last day.
You know, the funny thing is my wife, got to say the thing. My wife, she has a friend, right? Who's always saying to her, like, oh, yeah, around the holidays, like, Merry Christmas. And my wife is Jewish. So my wife is like, I would prefer that you not say Merry Christmas to me. And this friend is all like, well, what, like, you can't say that, like, you know, oh, is this, what, you know, it's, oh, political correctness gone mad. And my wife is like, no. My wife is like, you can say Merry Christmas to people, but, like, you know I'm Jewish. You specifically know that I am Jewish and do not celebrate Christmas. Why are you saying this? If I'm getting to that. My wife is yelling in the other room about the punchline to this story. She loves giving away the punchlines. I love repeating things, and she loves giving them away ahead of time. I'm getting to that. Anyway, yes, I'm getting to that. So anyway, wife is all like, if you don't want to, if you can't say Happy Hanukkah, just say Happy Holidays or something, right? And this friend is all like, what if I say Happy Santa Day? And it's like, that doesn't solve the issue. Santa is a Christmas thing.
I don't believe that the Jews ever thought that Christmas was a bad word.
No, it's fine. It's like, yeah, people celebrate Christmas. Nobody has a problem with that. The problem is if you don't celebrate Christmas and people keep saying Merry Christmas to you, it's a little othering, you know?
Yes.
And I try to say Happy Holidays when I don't know if what someone is, you know, sometimes because we live in a nation, you know, that is pretty where Christianity is the background radiation. So you forget sometimes. And sometimes I'll say like Merry Christmas to people without thinking, you know, but if I specifically know that someone is Jewish, then I'm not going to say Merry Christmas in that instance. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? You know,
well, just start. You know, if somebody keeps doing that, just wish them a happy Hanukkah in return.
Yeah, you know, be like, hey.
You're not going to listen to my, you don't care what I am. Why should I care what you are?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'd like to wish you a happy Hanukkah, a tip-top Tet, a kooky Kwanzaa, and a solemn and dignified Ramadan.
L'chaim.
Anyways, so we got a lot of holidays around that time of year, and they all fucking suck. They're all terrible. Sorry.
Except
all
Halloween,
holidays are bad. Halloween's the only good holiday. It really is.
Sometimes we just celebrate it wrong, you know. But you know, sometimes we celebrate Christmas wrong too. You know, I feel that there are a lot of good ways to enjoy Christmas but none of them are, you know, the ones that are advertised on television.
So. No. If you want a good Christmas, go watch Garfield's Christmas. He knew how to celebrate Christmas, right? You know?
Yeah. Make a gift for a friend that they were never expecting and make sure it's actually useful and not just some knickknack.
Yeah. And as Garfield said, it's not the giving, it's not the getting, it's the loving.
Yes. That's what they mean when they say it's not, you know, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah. Garfield is the wisest man that I have ever known. Anyway, any final thoughts about Garfield Originals?
Oh, Garfield Originals aren't really all that original.
No. I'm sure they're fine if you have a small child and you just want to like plop them in front of the computer to keep them quiet for a few hours, you know?
Yeah. Then it's going to be like, Mickey Mouse shoots pregnant Elsa out of catapult. Haha, funny Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be careful because the algorithm will eventually start serving them like, Peppa Pig has, dental nightmare or worse things. Well, that's why, it's like, they'll start showing because, I don't know.
That's what this is. It's not Garfield. It's not Garchomp. It's Algorfield.
It really is. It's they looked at the algorithm and said, this is what it wants. Here you go. Yeah. So it's
kind of, you know, speaking of the holidays, it's kind of disheartening because it feels like this is the vision that the Ghost of Christmas Future will be bringing to Jim Davis of this is what Garfield is going to be like after you're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It really is, because we have talked a lot about how, despite Jim Davis's,
he has a reputation as a hack, but he's not. He's very original.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's
the
obviously
fact that he's good at marketing. It doesn't make him less original.
No. I mean, yeah, you look at Garfield and like Garfield of Friends. That's a fun show. There's a lot to it. And even like you look at other things where like Garfield's Nine Lives or that series of strips where Garfield goes insane and hallucinates that he's in the future. Like, there's a lot of really weird creative stuff in Garfield. So Jim Davis is kind of a wild man, and for all the Garfield stuff that is a little mundane and whatever, it's still art. It is not content, but Garfield Originals is content. And once we no longer have Jim Davis around, when Garfield gets bought up by fucking Bain Capital and stripped down or whatever, we're going to be getting it's going to be exuding gray Garfield slurry. In it'll be stuff like Garfield Originals. Man, yeah. It's not even as wacky as like we were making fun of like Garfield Eats, but at least there was like a human vision behind that, you know?
Yeah. Another crazy oh my God, does that mean that Nathan Masri is the true heir?
Oh my God. You know what? Oh my God. Just imagine just imagine it's going to be one of those things like the future of Garfield. It's either going to be endless just algorithm slurry like Garfield Originals or the schizophrenic fever dream of Nathan Masri. It's one of those, which way, Western man? Like, oh my God. Oh boy. The future. What a time it will be. What a time.
I just want to say before we close, you know, we have a certain reputation around here for who chooses which cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike is the one who chose Free for All and Sabrina Online. You know, Mike was the one who suggested this one too, so make of that what you will.
I feel like the worse something is, the more we hate something, the more likely it's something that I picked.
No, I think you've picked some good stuff in the past. So this is, it's a funny coincidence that some of the worst stuff still comes from you. What's the worst thing I've picked? What have you? It wasn't the big stuffed dog. No, it was. It's an Adventure Charlie Brown.
Which one was that one about? What was
that?
The
was
adventure?
Very early on. That was the one that was just like a whole bunch of unconnected Peanuts stories slapped together, much like this.
I mean, so Snoopy on Ice was pretty bad.
Oh yeah, that was pretty bad.
Though I don't know if it rose to like the big stuffed dog levels of badness. I'm sure it's got to be some Peanuts thing though, because
loved, for all of its badness, we love It's the Girl in the Red Truck. So
yeah, that one is just that one is a wild ride. So yeah. Anyway, don't bother with Garfield Originals. Go watch Garfield and Friends. Or the Garfield
Show. Don't
watch
Garfield Originals. Go watch the original Garfields.
Yeah. Actually, that's good. We should cut on that.